Our scripture lesson for today comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind.
Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who thought he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped,
but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men.
And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a young man by the name of Johnny who went to the police station to interview for a job. Now, the police chief knew that Johnny wasn't the smartest cookie out there, but he decided to humor him and give him an interview anyway. So he says, Johnny, tell me 2 days of the week that begin with the letter T. And Johnny says, today and tomorrow. The chief says, well, that's not what I was thinking, but oh, okay. The chief says, Johnny, what do you get when you got one and one? And Johnny says, 11. And the chief says, well, that's not what I was thinking, but oh, okay, all right. Finally, the last question. He says, now, Johnny, tell me, who shot Abraham Lincoln? And Johnny says, I don't know. And she said, are you sure you don't know who shot Abraham Lincoln? Johnny says, no, I don't know who shot Abraham Lincoln. She says, well, that's all right, Johnny. Why don't you just go home and think about it for a while? Today is our second Sunday in looking at the theme, house arrest. And we've been exploring what can we do, what can we work on while we're under this house arrest. The Apostle Paul is our teacher, and the Apostle Paul himself was under house arrest in Rome. And he writes this incredible letter to the church in Philippi. And so each week we've been looking at some of the lessons that we can gain from that. This week, the message that I want to share that we can gain from that is this. Shift your mind. Can you say that with me? Shift your mind. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you looked at something from a different perspective and maybe you got a brand new revelation? Maybe it was some mind-blowing thing that you realized. Well, that happened to me just the other day. Let me share with you something that blew my mind. When you clean a vacuum cleaner, you become a vacuum cleaner. Right? Did that just blow your mind? Well, that's not the kind of a shifting of your mind that Paul's talking about. Because Paul was writing to that church in Philippi that was going through some arguments and some infighting. And Paul has a thing that he wants for them to do. He wants them to be of the same mind. Here's how he says it. He says it in Philippians 2:2. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So Paul wants them united and to shift their mind to one accord. And here's the instructions that he gives them on how to do that. He says this, do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking more of others. Humility is not putting yourself down, but it's lifting others up. Have you ever been out camping and it's pitch dark and you light a candle? Well, you got a choice with that candle. You can either hold the candle right up here by your face and just illuminate your own face, or you can lift that candle up and you can illuminate the faces of those that are around you. It's a mind shift. It's a choice. Paul is talking about our attitudes. When I was in middle school, sometimes the girls would ask, "Do you have an attitude?" Well, the answer is, yes, we all have an attitude. We all have an attitude, but we get to choose what our attitude will be. Paul is telling us to choose a positive attitude, but he doesn't just stop there. He's not saying it's enough just to have a positive attitude. Paul says we need to shift our minds to the same attitude that is in Jesus Christ. He says this in Philippians 2, 5 through 7. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." But here's the mind shift in the kingdom of God. Pleasing God isn't about self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. The word grasped in the Greek means to rob or to pillage. So seeking equality with God was like trying to steal from God. And isn't that what Satan did in the Old Testament? He says, "I will be like God." When that didn't work for him and for the angels that followed him, he says the same thing to Adam and Eve. Disobey God, and guess what? You will be like God. And the whole time I can just hear the Apostle Paul saying, no, that's the complete opposite of what we need to do. We need to shift our minds. Quality with God is not something to be grasped. It's not about a self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. If you want to save your life, then be willing to lose your life in Christ Jesus. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus gave up his rights. Think about this with me for a moment, if you will. Jesus, who was divine, who had the run of the universe, stripped himself of glory and heaven, and he confines himself not just to human existence, but to being born in the form of a baby. A baby who was wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are clothes that are tightly wrapped around the baby so that the baby can't move. So if you think about it, Jesus puts himself under house arrest. He limits his movements. He limits his options. And he did it all for you and for me. Jesus emptied himself. Some of the translations say that Jesus made himself as nothing. Now, when God created the world, God created ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. So what I'm trying to say that is, as long as we are nothing, then God can do something with us. But the moment that we begin to think that we are something, the moment that we begin to think that we're bigger than we are, the moment that we begin to consider ourselves better than others, that's the moment that we risk not fulfilling the purpose that God has created in us. We need to shift our minds. Jesus took on the form of a servant. So here's another mindset for you. Serving is not what I do, but a servant is who I am. Serving is not what I do, but a servant is who I am. Let's follow the example of Jesus and see how this works out. When the disciples and Jesus were in the upper room, the disciples were arguing about which one of them would be the greatest. When the actual person who was the greatest did what? He knelt down, took a bowl and a towel, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Matthew 28:28 says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Serving is not just what I do, it's who I am. Have you ever been to the restaurant Chick-fil-A? If you tell them thank you, what do they say back to you? It's my pleasure. They say it's my pleasure. They don't say, well, it's my job, or you're welcome, or it's about time someone recognizes my worth. No, they don't say that. They say it's my pleasure. And that's pretty close to saying it's my purpose. My friend Jennifer Fernberg had this quote on her Facebook page. Begin your day with an I get to mentality instead of a I have to thought process. I get to go to work. I get to have a busy day, whatever it may be. We often dress our opportunities as stress, but they are in fact blessings. Some of us are finding that out while we're under house arrest. Earlier this week, I saw one of our daycare workers, Michelle Cook. She was at the bottom of the step, pausing before she made her way up to start her shift. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing? Are you trying to mentally prepare yourself to deal with all the kids? She smiled and said, no, Pastor Joe. She said, I'm praying. She said, I always pray each morning for the kids, and I thank God for the opportunity that I get to be an influence in their lives. Wow. That's a mind shift. It's not a I have to mentality. It's a I get to mentality. It's not a serving is what I do. It's a servant is who I am mentality. I want to say this. One of the biggest things we can do while we're under house arrest is to work on shifting our minds. And if you want to figure out how to gauge how you're doing on this changing of your mentality, then I want you to ask yourself this question. How do I act when I'm given the opportunity to be a servant? When someone asks me to do something, do I say to them, do you know who I am? When someone asks me to give something, do I get all bent out of shape about it? When I do something, do I do it expecting praise and recognition for it? Too often my answers to these questions is yes. But during this time of house arrest, I get a chance to work on it. And you get a chance to work on shifting our minds. Philippians 2:8 says this, and being found in human form, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus gives the ultimate gift, the gift of himself. And he does it for us, for you and I. Earlier this week, we asked some of the kids and some of the adults, what would you do if you got $1 million? Amby, wow, you humbled me with your answer.
If I had $1 million, I would give it all to Pastor Joe so he can build a bigger church so more people can come and be saved by God.
There are some of us who have really been hurting financially during this financial time in this pandemic. Some of us have lost jobs, but we still have bills to pay. Some of us, our income has been cut, but we still need groceries for our family. But then there's the rest of us. For some of us, we still have our jobs. We still have our retirement. We still have our income. Financially, things haven't changed that much. And yet the stimulus check comes along. And for some of us, if we're honest, it's just like getting extra money that we weren't expecting. Well, last week, my wife said to me, when the check comes in, I've got a friend who's out of work and I want to give some of the money to her. And she says, I've got another friend whose husband is in the hospital and her medical bills are rising and I want to give some of the money to them. And then she said, I was thinking that maybe we should give some of the money to the young man that we sponsor through a compassion Now, let me be honest with you. It's not $1 million. It's not even close. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to live out our faith. And it's an opportunity for us to become a blessing to someone else. And here's the wild thing. It cost us nothing. We weren't expecting it anyway. I want to challenge you. If you're in the position that the stimulus check is just extra money to you, then percentage-wise, give to the things that you already said were important to you. Friends, it's not about self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. It's not about being served. It's about being a servant. It's not about I have to. It's about I get to. It's not about receiving. It's about giving. And it's not about saving our lives. It's about giving our lives in Christ Jesus. Shift your mind. There's a young man by the name of Johnny who goes to be interviewed at the police station. The chief already knows that Johnny's not the smartest cookie, but he says, I'll humor him anyway and interview him. He says, Johnny, tell me 2 days of the week that begin with the letter T. And Johnny says, today and tomorrow. And the chief says, well, that's not what I was thinking, but okay. The chief says, Johnny, what do you get when you got one and one? Johnny says, 11. The chief says, okay, that's not what I was thinking, but okay. He says, I got one last question for you, Johnny. Do you know who shot Abraham Lincoln? And Johnny stops and he thinks, do I know who shot Abraham Lincoln? And he says, no, chief, I'm sorry. I don't know who shot Abraham Lincoln. And chief smiles and says, well, Johnny, that's all right. Why don't you just go home and think about it for a while? Johnny goes home and his mother asks him, Johnny, how'd the interview go? And Johnny says, it went great. I got the job. Guess what, mama? First day on the job and I'm already working a murder case. Friends, you are already on the job. Your job is not to be served, but to be a servant. Your job is to glorify your Heavenly Father. I love what it says in Matthew 5, verse 16. Therefore, so let your light shine before men and women, that they might see your good works and glorify your Heavenly Father. Amen.